1 Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, critical race theory, defund the police, and more. Again, visit FloridaVotesValues.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
In the wake of Hurricane Ian and the natural disaster, the disaster that ensued from that, we have seen a call for the federal government to intervene, for federal assistance to be given to people that had loss. And this is commonplace. This is done in every disaster in modern times in America, so much so that people don't even think, should this be? Is this how we should deal with natural disasters? Should the government be the one that is actually providing this, the means for the people? And so we are looking at this from a biblical principle, though, or from a biblical standpoint, and looking at, what does the Bible say, and what role does the Bible say that government should play in natural disaster relief? And today we're actually going to, we have in the past few weeks talked about this and shown really from Scripture that from the Old Testament and the New Testament, God never advocates the government taking money from everyone to give it to some, or taking money from some to give it to other people. The government never, God never advocates for that, and God never advocates for the government to be the provider of people when they have a natural disaster. Really, what is happening is that government is taking the place of God. We should be turning to God and crying out to Him for forgiveness, and also crying out for God to move on our behalf as well. So we're going to look today at, because you might be thinking, well, you know, because we have raised this topic and talked about this, that God actually does judge nations. And you might say, well, that's not really what I've heard. It's not what I've learned in Sunday school. Certainly there are many people that are afraid to use words such as an act of God. Many times these natural disasters are called an act of God. And quite often Christians will point out, well, this isn't really an act of God because God doesn't do things like this. This is really just an act of nature. God is a good God. God doesn't do bad things. We're going to look at the Bible and see what the Bible says about whether God does judge nations as well as individuals, because does God punish nations when they disobey Him? So we're going to look at this from the Bible. So first of all, we have to look and we have to ask the question, is God's law applicable not only to individuals? We know it's applicable to individuals. We know God says, you shall not lie, you shall not steal, you shall not kill, don't take the Lord's name in vain, and so on. The Ten Commandments, we all know that that applies to individuals, but does it apply to nations as well as to individuals? And what we'll see from the Bible is that certainly the Bible, the law of God, does apply not only to nations or to individuals, but also to nations. And we can look in Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, but you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us. For whatever reason, we may call upon him. And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day? So you see that the law of God was not just for the individual, that the law of God was applied to the nation as well, to the nation of Israel. And you might say, well, you know, that's just was Israel. It doesn't really apply to other nations, but we'll see from the Bible that it does apply to other nations as well. Consider Leviticus chapters 18 and 20. We're going to read a portion of that in a little bit. But in these passages, what is happening is the Israelites are about to come into the land, and God warns them, do not commit certain sins, because of these sins, the land is actually vomiting forth the inhabitants of the land. The Canaanites were being vomited forth by the land. The land was actually assisting and expelling these wicked nations from the land of Canaan because they had violated God's commandments and his precepts. And God warns them, do not commit these same sins, because if you commit these same sins, the land will vomit you forth as well. So we see there that the law of God was applied even to the nations that didn't have the benefit of having received the written law. Certainly, they may not have been held to such as high of a standard as the nation of Israel that was given the law of God, but they still, the Word of God tells us that God's law is written on our hearts. Every single one of us is born knowing right from wrong to a certain extent. Certainly, that's not 100% perfect, but we do know, kids know. I knew when I was a little kid, before anyone told me that it was wrong to steal, if I stole something, and when I did steal something, I knew that that was wrong. When I told a lie, I knew that that was wrong. When I disobeyed my parents, I knew that that was wrong. So nations as well as individuals are judged, and the law of God is applicable not only to the nation of Israel, but to other nations as well. So we ask the question, does God judge nations as well as individuals? And certainly when you look at the Bible, you have to say, yes, he does judge nations as well as individuals. And we can look in Deuteronomy chapter 27 and 28, and here we see the curses, the blessings, and the curses. And you may recall when they were about to enter the Canaan land, that there were six tribes that were to stand on one mountain and six tribes to stand on another mountain, and they were to proclaim the curses, the blessings, and the curses. And it's interesting that they actually proclaimed the curses first, and then the blessings, and then the curses. So it's kind of like a reminder. If you turn to the right hand or to the left hand, then you're going to be outside of God's will. You're going to be violating God's commandments. And when you violate God's commandments, God will bring his judgment upon you to correct you and to call you back to him, and also to suppress the wickedness. And so we see in Deuteronomy chapters 27 and 28, we do see the blessings and the curses, not just for individuals, but also for nations. You can see in the Bible, in the book of Judges, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, and throughout the prophets, you will see multiple examples of God's judgment for disobedience, not just to individuals, but also to nations. You'll see definitely you'll see God's judgment upon the nation of Israel quite often. And in fact, you'll see that when they violated his commandments, when they rebelled against him, when they sought other gods, when they sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demon spirits, when they committed fornication and adultery, that God turned them over to wicked men to rule over them. He raised up oppressors to rule over them. And we see also this in the book of Judges, and also you'll see in 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, and then the prophets as well. And you may ask again, well, does God judge all nations, or is God's judgment to nations only applicable to Israel? Well, one of the things that you'll see when you look through 2 Kings and you look through 2 Chronicles, you look through the prophets, God first calls for his chosen people, Israel, to repent. He first sends his judgment upon his people, Israel. He sends them into captivity. But then what you'll see as they are in captivity and as they are humbling themselves and crying out to God and asking God to move on their behalf and to deliver them, what you'll actually see is you'll start seeing the people of Israel, God's starting to have favor upon them and God looking on them and having compassion on them. And then you'll see God's judgment upon those nations, even the wicked nations that held them captive and took them captive, God's judgment upon them because they are wicked and they did not escape his judgment. In Psalm chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, we read this: "Therefore, be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are those who put their trust in him." So here we see that God's judgment and a warning to the kings of this earth. And you can read in Psalm 2, it talks about the nations being given to the Son, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And here you see the kings being instructed to be wise, to be instructed to even the judges to be instructed in the principles of God, to serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling, to kiss the Son, the King of kings and Lord of lords, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are those who put their trust in him. So here we see really that God does judge nations as well as individuals. And he judges not only the nation of Israel, but other nations as well. And we mentioned earlier from Leviticus chapters 18 and 20, we mentioned that the creation itself participated in expelling the Canaanites from the land. Why? Because the people were evil, because they had violated God's commandments, and you can read the sins that God warns them to not commit. And those sins are largely sexual sins, quite a bit of incestual relationships, and also adultery and homosexuality and bestiality and child sacrifice. And by the way, in America today, we're committing all of those sins. Certainly, bestiality is not as widespread. Homosexuality is not as widespread, but these are still being practiced in America today. And in fact, homosexuality is celebrated. And there's even a month of the year where companies and even some government agencies actually celebrate this perversion. And it is a perversion. Men having relationships with other men and women having sexual relationships with other women is an abomination to God. By the way, men having sexual relations with women that they're not married to is also a sin. And especially when it's adulterous, that is even worse. So we're not, by the way, singling out homosexuality. It's definitely not something we want to do here. We want to call all men, all women, to repent before God. But here we see in Leviticus chapter 18, beginning in verse 26, reading through verse 30, "You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, either any of your own nation or any stranger who dwells among you. For all these abominations the men of the land have done who were before you, and thus the land is defiled, lest the land vomit you out also when you defile it, as it vomited out the nations who were before you. Therefore you shall keep my ordinances, so that you do not commit any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you do not defile yourselves by them. I am the Lord your God." So here we see the warning to keep the statutes of God, to keep the judgments of God, to not commit any of these abominations, either any of your own nation or any stranger who dwells among you. So the one thing that was clear when, and we've talked about this with strangers, those who were from other countries, they were to live according to God's commandments. That's the only way they could be there. The only way they could be there is if they lived according to the commandments of God. And so this was for the Israelites and any other person that was living in Israel. They had to keep the statutes of God and the judgments of God. And it says, "For all these abominations the men of the land have done who were before you, and thus the land is defiled." You see, there are certain types of sins that actually defile the land. Certainly, every sin defiles us. If I commit a sin, it defiles me. But there are certain types of sin and certain sins that actually defile the land. And when the land is defiled, God has a cleansing process for that, to get rid of that defilement. And that cleansing process includes creation rising up in rebellion against the sin and against the iniquity. And you see creation being a willing participant in bringing God's judgment upon the wicked who are defiling the land. And it says, "Lest the land vomit you out also when you defile it, as it vomited out the nations who were before you." So the land was, and God here is using graphic description of what was happening. In the Bible, you can read about it in the book of Deuteronomy, that God says that he would even send hornets to drive out the Canaanites. And you see, when you start seeing natural disasters, when you start seeing wildfires, when you start seeing hurricanes, when you start seeing tornadoes, when you start seeing even creatures rising up and moving against a people, what you're going to see is you're seeing that land is vomiting forth the inhabitants. And this is what you see, the land vomiting forth the inhabitants. And the warning: do not commit these same sins, because if you commit these same sins, the land will vomit you forth, even as it's vomiting forth the Canaanites. "Therefore you shall keep my ordinances, so that you do not commit any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you do not defile yourselves by them. I am the Lord your God." So we see here very clearly that God was going to hold the nation of Israel accountable to keep his commandments. But God also was holding the nation, those Canaanites, accountable as well. Again, certainly God may not have held them to the same standard that he held the nation of Israel, because when we have been given, and the nation of Israel was given the law of God, yet the Canaanites just had, that moral law written on their hearts. They didn't really have the written law that Israel had. But still, they still were judged. They were still held accountable for their actions. And their sins were defiling the land. And the land was actually vomiting them forth before God. Now, you may say, well, you know, all that you've said so far is from the Old Testament. And we are no longer under the Old Covenant. Now we're under the New Covenant, which is a covenant of grace. And certainly the New Covenant is a covenant of grace. But we have to ask, does God still judge in the New Covenant? And if we look at the Bible, we really have to answer yes. He still does judge. In fact, I would encourage you, read the Bible, read the Old Testament, read the New Testament. Realize that the Bible, God speaks to you throughout the Bible. You need to read the entire Bible on a regular basis so that we can actually understand what God has instructed us. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, we read this: "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come that judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear?" So we see here that Peter is saying that God does judge in the New Testament. And just like God started judging Israel before he judged the pagan nations, Peter also says here that judgment begins in the house of God. It begins with Christians first. You know, there are a lot of people that look at what's happening in the world today and they say, oh, isn't this terrible? You know, all those bad people, all those evil people out there, boy, God's going to get them. God's going to judge them. That's not what the Bible says. God says that he starts his judgment in the house of God. Why? Because we are to be the pillar and the ground of truth. We're to be the salt and the light. We are called by God in the Great Commission to go forth and to make disciples of the nations. We are called by God to train them in obedience to the law of God. We are called by God to be the culture carrier. When a nation has departed from God's precepts, it is because the church is not doing its job. It is because we are not training the nation in obedience to God's commandments. And really, if we're to look at the church, many Christians don't even understand what the church should do and what the law of God, how the law of God should be applied, much less that we are responsible for our culture, that we are responsible not just to get up in the morning, go to work, make a living, come home and watch TV until it's time to go to bed and sit on the couch and eat bonbons. We are called by God to impact the nation. We are called by God to bring this nation back to God, and judgment begins in the house of God. And if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? So God does still judge in the New Testament as well. You can also read that God judges not only individuals in the New Testament, but he also judges nations. Jesus in Matthew chapter 23, verses 33 through 36, said this: "Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the altar, the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation." And you actually see Jesus saying that the blood that has been shed, the innocent blood that has been shed, is going to be poured out on this generation. And it was. Jerusalem was surrounded, and it was leveled. The temple was destroyed. The foundations of the temple were plowed in accordance with the word of God. Not one stone was left upon another, as Jesus had testified. Those who also testify or make the argument that God doesn't judge in the New Testament probably haven't read the book of Revelation, or at least haven't been cognizant of the fact of that God, that is God's judgment upon the nations. And we see here in the book of Revelation, we see God's pouring out his wrath upon the world. When we look at the Bible, we do see a call. We see that God does call us to obey him. When we disobey him, that God does bring forth his judgments upon us. And we also see that God calls us to repent. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, we read, "When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locust to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." So you see here that God is the one that does sin, cause there to be no rain, or to command the locust to devour the land, or send pestilence among his people. We, in that case, need to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, so that he might hear from heaven, that he might forgive our sins and heal our land. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
First Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, critical race theory, defund the police, and more. Again, visit FloridaVotesValues.com.
Let me tell you, oh my friends, about this joy I'm living in. Let me take the mic, I wanna testify how I was dead and then I came to life.